I'm always intrigued to find the inspiration behind songwriters when they decide that they're going to sit down, not necessarily the guys who sit down at the piano and produce the tune, but the people who actually produce the lyrics. What makes them write down what they write down? What inspires their choice of words for a song? Sometimes it can be very, very much religious. If you go back to the 60s, which some of you might be able to go back to, I can't unfortunately, but some of you may be able to. The Byrds, their great song Turn, 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 used virtually the whole of Ecclesiastes. There is a time for this, a time for that. And they transformed a verse of scripture into a popular song that lasted quite high up the charts for years. Other people, like John Lennon, for example, I find it fascinating to talk at groups when I go and present a talk on the Salvation Army, to tell them the story of John Lennon's great Strawberry Fields Forever song, and how he just happened to spend a lot of time with his aunt because his childhood wasn't great, and her house happened to back on to Strawberry Fields, and there he would sneak in and play with the other children in there, and that inspired the penning of these words. Songwriters are incredible people. Some of them, I think, write down whatever they write down on the back of a fag packet, for want of a better word, because some of them are quite atrocious. I'm still trying to work out Zigga Zig Zag and all the rest of it that the Spice Girls join in with. But actually, some people are able to pen some beautiful things that are based upon an inspirational life experience. When you look at our songbook, when I was thinking of Ascension Day, this whole idea of the power that is in Jesus, this person who came and showed us what God was like, suddenly becoming hidden, a hidden power, I couldn't help but turn to Albert Osborne's great song. And in that chorus it says, in the secret of the presence, in the hiding of thy power, let me love thee, let me serve thee every consecrated hour. I discovered that actually Osborne wrote that song whilst he was at Corps Officers' Councils in 1920. It was held at the Clapton Congress Hall, and it was led by General Bramwell Booth. And Osborne had been in the first meeting of councils, and he'd gone back to the homes of friends in Leighton, where he was staying. And there, during the night, he struggled. He couldn't sleep. And in his own words, in describing how he penned this song, he said, "I woke at 5:30 a.m. with a very real sense of a presence quite near me. Then slowly, but easily, the verses of this song and chorus came into my mind, and all I had to do was catch the inspiration and write down the words." What did he say? "I awoke with a real sense of a presence." For 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus had appeared to the disciples. And as the Bible tells us, he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. It had been a life-changing time. The presence of Jesus was very much with them. He was in their midst. He was alongside them. They'd touched him. They'd walked with him. They'd talked with him. They'd eaten with him. And it was a great comfort. It was a great assurance. He was with them. They had truly seen him again. But as our Bible reading from earlier tells us, it was going to be short-lived. Because here, on that day of ascension, Jesus leaves his disciples. And as far as they were concerned, they were never going to see him again in this world. Now, knowing how they felt after his death 40 days earlier, it would have been understandable for them to return to that same state of disappointment, to lock themselves away, to start wandering, to start drifting because of the dejection at the departure of Jesus. If we read the scriptures, we discover that alongside the stories of miracles and amazing feats that God did, we also hear other stories of disappointment. The scripture mentions stories of disappointment all the time. Times for different individuals where God seemed to appear silent and inactive. When people didn't perceive God to be present. And when those times occurred, there was a real sense of loss and disappointment. And I just want to ask you this morning, I want you to consider those times in your life, because I'm quite sure they've happened, where God has seemed not to be present. I've had times like that, and I'm quite sure we've all had times when we felt that God has just not been present with us. God's presence energizes, it encourages, and it uplifts. And you know, when he seems to be absent, it's totally the opposite, isn't it? And yet on this occasion of Jesus' departure from the disciples, his leaving them is not a somber occasion. It's actually one that's full of joy and full of hope. Listen again to the words at the end of Luke's gospel. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up to heaven. That's what it says. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up to heaven, and they worshipped him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. Now that is quite a contrast between what happened last time he went. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. These were no longer men and women who were held by fear. They weren't prisoner to their fears anymore. They were filled with hope and joy, a joy that spilled over into proclamation and into praise. So I ask the question, what was actually different? What was different between that occasion and the previous one? Well, they had an unshakable conviction in God's sovereign power over all their lives. And their lives had changed. They'd come to trust in God's ultimate purpose for them and believe that all indeed would be well, because Christ would always be with them. Blessed Lord, well, they had seen him truly. And what a change it had actually made in their lives. On the day of Jesus' ascension into heaven, we're simply told by Luke here in this chapter that we read, after saying this, he was taken up to heaven and they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Do you know, if that had been England, we'd all understood that, wouldn't we? Significant day and the weather comes along and spoils it all. But actually, the cloud that hid Jesus from their sight had nothing to do with the atmospheric conditions that day. It was nothing to do with the weather forecasters. Because the cloud was no ordinary cloud. The cloud signified the divine presence of God. The same cloud that had led the people, the Israelites, in the wilderness. The same cloud that had covered Sinai. The same cloud that settled on the Mount of Transfiguration. Again and again and again in the Bible, the cloud indicates the presence of God. And so Jesus being lifted into this cloud represents his exaltation to the highest place once again. This wasn't just a bad weather day. This was significant. Jesus was going back to the highest place, to the presence of the Almighty. And if the followers were in any doubt as to the divine nature of Jesus, it was certainly dispelled on that day of ascension. And so as they looked on, they could know without doubt that this Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, here clothed in majesty and glory, exalted to the highest place. to know him, to know thee? Well, they most certainly did that day without any doubt. They would know. As this cloud enveloped him, he was the divine Son of God. Don't know about you. Is anybody surprised that our Prime Minister's gone? I'm just amazed she hung on. Bless her. And yet, funnily enough, I find myself feeling quite sorry for her. As I see her full of tears walking back, I sense a genuineness in her heart and all those other things. But they're funny folk, aren't they, Prime Ministers? I've seen a few. Some of you have seen a few more than me. And I wonder, do they really affect us in our day-to-day life? We've heard all the time in recent months how people are telling us these people are out of touch with those of us that are normal folk. Well, perhaps they are. Are they ever going to have an effect on me? Their policies and their government might. But them as individuals, are they ever going to affect me? Theresa May went on Friday. There'll another one come soon enough. Might be another one before the end of the year as well as that. Who knows? But do these individuals, these people of power, these people surrounded by the pomp and majesty of state, do they have any impact on our everyday life? Her policies might, but she doesn't. Now that can't be said about Jesus. What is the point in having a God who is exalted and majestic if he doesn't touch our lives in some way? Our Jesus does. One of the things I love doing is the school run at the end of the day. I'm not too keen on it at the beginning of the day because it's a bit chaotic. And it's always full of grumbles and it's always full of moaning all the way to school. But I quite like the school run at the end of the day because I stand in the playground and without doubt, every time as they come out the door, they're looking for me because they can't go until they've spotted me. And once they spot me, there's my dad! And they come running over to me. It's short-lived, I have to tell you that. The grumbles start before we've reached the gate of the school. But the weird thing is, for that instance, there seems to be quite a comfort in knowing that Dad is around. I don't get that at the beginning of the day. I do at the end of the day. You know, the resurrection was not simply about Jesus comforting the disciples with his presence. Wasn't about him just making them feel good. He challenged them. He opened their minds to the new thing he was doing. His life was certainly going to touch their lives in a dramatic way. Because they were to tell as they had seen. This wasn't passive. This wasn't a feel-good 40 days. And as Jesus was ascending to heaven, we're told by Luke that he raised his hands and blessed them. At the end of Luke chapter 24, he raised his hands and he blessed them. Now that's a significant act. Because he's just told his disciples that they're going to be witnesses of all the things that they've seen and heard. And he was telling them, and us, how important it is to reach out to those who do not yet know the Saviour of the world. He knew it was going to be difficult. And this blessing was the encouragement they needed as they began their service for Christ. Interestingly, Luke doesn't record the words of the blessing. He doesn't tell us what the actual blessing was. Matthew does. Matthew tells us that the last words he said to them was this: I will be with you always to the end of the age. Now, if that's the same blessing that Luke's referring to, what a blessing it is. You see, to know him is to rest in his assurance that he is with us always. And with this knowledge as our hope and inspiration, then we can serve him and tell as we have seen. Do you know him always to be with you? Like Osborne, do you sense the presence? You know, Jesus came from God full of grace and truth. And those who were fortunate enough to be around him at the time watched him grow. They watched him teach. They watched him perform miracles. They watched him love the unlovable. They watched him die. They watched him appear again. And on Ascension Day, depart to the glory that was his in the very beginning. Justin Welby said recently in his comments on Ascension Day, he said this: Jesus brought us God, but not as we know it. And our challenge is not to make Jesus fit the God we know, but to realize that God is the Jesus we see. I'm going to read that to you again. Listen to it carefully. Jesus brought us God, but not as we know it. And our challenge is not to make Jesus fit the God we know, but to realize that God is the Jesus we see. Through the life of Jesus, we see God as he is. What did Osborne write in his song? Blessed Lord, to see thee truly. First to know thee, then to serve thee, and then to see thee as thou art. Well, in 3 days' time, 4 days' time, the church will celebrate Ascension Day. And you know what? Most of us will probably miss it. We'll just get on with our business on Thursday. But we cannot ignore Ascension Day. We cannot ignore it as we wait for the excitement and the energy of Pentecost. St. Augustine said this about Ascension Day: this is the festival which confirms the grace of all the festivals together. For unless the Saviour had ascended into heaven, his nativity would have come to nothing, and his passion would have borne no fruit for us, and his most holy resurrection would have been useless. So let's worship with great joy as we remember Jesus' ascension into heaven this week, and let's recognize the importance of it. Blessed Lord, to see thee truly. First to know thee, then to serve thee, then to see thee as thou art. And so this morning, as we come to the end of our meeting, is Jesus a hidden power in your life? Is he a hidden power in your life? Osborne said, I wrote that song because I woke up 5:30 and I sensed the presence. Do you sense the presence? Is that power, is that source of everything we are, the God that we see in Jesus, is he very relevant in your life? I find that quite a challenging question for myself. So to help me, we're going to pick up Osborne's little song to bring our meeting or towards the end. 766. Beautiful words are on the wall, in the secret of thy presence, where the pure in heart may dwell, are the springs of sacred service, and a power that none can tell. And very simply, today, this week, do you see the blessed Lord truly? Do you know him? Do you serve him? Is his presence with you? Pick it up with me. blessed Lord, to see thee truly, to see him in all his wonder, in all his glory, to know his presence in a very real way. Is that our experience? May it be so. May it be so this day. Pick up the third verse. Thanks, John. Bless you. This week we celebrate the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And on that amazing day where Jesus was exalted to the highest place, your disciples were filled with joy and hope and went about the business of telling as they had seen. Lord, it could have been so different. They could have, like they'd done before, been disappointed and dejected, feeling that your presence was being taken away from them. The truth is, we all need your presence. We all need your presence in a very vibrant way and in a very real way. Because it's as you were always with us, do we find the comfort, the assurance, the inspiration, the whole energy to be who you would want us to be. And if we're being very honest, there are times when in all our lives, there can be times when you can seem absent. And it's not because you are, because you're never absent. But it's because we've just not recognized your presence. We've not sensed you with us. We've not seen you truly. And so this day, Lord, as we go from this place on this bank holiday weekend, we ask that you'll go and go with us, that in our lives you will be very real, that we will know you, first of all, that we will see you, because it's in knowing and seeing you that we can serve you and see you for what you truly are. And so on this Ascension week, may we see once again the glory and the majesty of you. And may that be very, very present in our lives too. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.